Hey buzzers, welcome to the Hit the Floor After Show. We are in season 4, episode number 2, Beast Mode, and we're going to talk about all things hashtag nude. And what better way to do that than to talk to Noah himself? I'm talking Christian Cordula is here in the house coming up right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, yo, I've been on.
Hey.
You've been called.
And you know, I wasn't lying. You don't have to do a double take. He is sitting right over there. We're going to get to that in just a second. Thank you for joining us. I am your host, Alicona Bradford. We have with us Deshaun Barner.
Hi.
And this guy right here, Christian Cordula.
Hello, everyone.
And of course, we have Felicia Ashley. No, that's Ashley's the other one. I'm sorry.
Ashley's not here, but shout out to Ashley. Yes. No, it's Felicia's yes. Show. What's up?
My fault. And really quick, too, got to run this through. Y'all are used to B-Stays Busy. It's Robin with a V. Unfortunately, she's doing amazing things, and her schedule is conflicted, so she will not be able to join us on this panel. But she'll be back. She will be back. True. Anyways, okay. So I just want to let you guys know. Now, we're going to start things off and have a little bit of fun. And I have this hashtag that we're going to do.
Uh-oh.
So it's hashtag who I love to hate. So for those of you guys in the chat, which I got to say this real quick, y'all know the deal. And if this is your first episode, this side of the table belongs to you. You are our co-host. And how you do that is you just join us in the hashtag room. In the hashtag room? In Facebook. There you go. On the live chat. On the live stream. That was very difficult. Okay. So if you're in there, start posting your hashtag who I love to hate. And that's like, who was so good at being so bad this episode?
I know mine.
Tell me.
I already know mine.
Tell me.
Eve.
I agree.
She's going straight for, huh?
Yeah. Hey, oh.
Like to get some
Lion
chills.
King. Well, what about you?
Don't it's
be
a good
biased.
Call. It's a good call. I'm kind of in the same boat there. Eve is a mysterious, we don't know what to expect from her, but she's playing her part really well. Tiffany Hines.
She's nailing
well done.
It.
Killing it.
What about you?
Who I love to hate?
Yes.
I'm also going go with the OG, Elena. Like, okay. she's the one you love to hate, but she's the one who you want to be like because she's really pretty.
But at the same time, in this episode, did you really hate her?
I did a little bit.
Okay.
What about those scenes with the little boy?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. I'm just saying. But I actually really agree with you as far as with Eve, because she's like, we obviously know her MO, but nobody else does. So she's just walking around like kissing everybody's ass. And I'm like, dude, you guys not see that?
Don't do it.
But what about the chat? Are they saying anything right now?
And right now, they ain't gotten popping too much now. They're
too
just
soon.
Chilling, yeah.
Too soon.
It's on wake up.
Or maybe they just don't hate anyone. Maybe they just love the characters.
Maybe we're all bringing the energy so that everyone's just like loving on all the characters.
Good vibes only.
Maybe.
Positive vibes being sent.
Like, you're so bad, you're good.
Right?
I could see that. Okay, so then my next hashtag is called clapback moment. So what's your favorite clapback moment? And that means like, who had the best clapback or who should have given someone else like a...
I mean, obviously.
Can I start us off here?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You gotta go with Tiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Devil's Playground, I mean, you knew it was coming.
Right.
And she didn't disappoint. She delivered. And
yeah.
It was like, okay, you knew it was coming. You saw the look in her face as soon as she saw Jamie at the bar. She's like, yeah, we need to talk.
I got your number.
And sure enough, Tiana delivered. She's, you know.
And when she came back and just that slap, that slap.
Thank you. Slap the taste out of his mouth.
Right?
That oh my slap. Gosh.
Did you guys see the slap coming?
I didn't. I was hoping for it.
Because she walks up on him and you're like, okay, where's she going? And then all of a sudden, that left, it came from the left. I thought it was just pop. I saw the reactions backstage. No one knew that was coming.
Really?
No one knew it was coming. I was like, yep, I'm clocking all these reactions. Yeah. No one knew it was coming.
So wait, though, do you know if that was written in the script where she was like, I'm in the moment. Whoopah!
That was in there.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think you can smack Terrence J in the face and it's all good. Like, I think he has a little more pull than
that. But what was funny, we did some press in New York this past weekend, and Terrence was our MC. He did a great job, and he actually brought Tiana, or not, she wasn't physically there, but he brought her up on FaceTime, and they talked about that slap. And,
yeah.
You know, it's all fun, and, you know, we act and we do our thing, but when you see it play out, I mean, she really got a piece of him. It looked like she was no joke.
She went
She looked heavy-handed.
Props to Terrence J for doing a great job in New York.
He did a great job.
I feel like his character was also my who I love to hate, too, because, first of all, you're a pastor, and you're over here talking about... Pastor, sorry. pastures where the cows graze. Anyway, you're one of those too. But
you call a cow?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
No. He's never mind. Anyway, okay. So, but the fact that he's gonna sit there, he's cheating on his wife, mm-hmm. and it's like that whole classic story of, I love you. I'm gonna leave my wife for mm-hmm. you, but not right now. But then when you leave, okay, now I can leave my wife. Mm-hmm.
That's why that was my favorite clapback, because when he first showed up, I was like, girl, don't do it. Girl, what? Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't give in. And then the slap, I was like, oh, okay. She knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing. Right. She's smart.
And she only realized what his real intentions were when he says, look, you're going to go out there dressed like this.
Right.
Then she's like, oh, now I see what your game is.
Slut shaming her.
You need to get slapped.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she delivered. So well done. T, well done.
I was so mad. Okay, so let's get into our first topic, like our in-depth topic. I want to talk about German, because this is the first time we saw him this season. He came back, did a 180. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because out of nowhere, they're like, he's got all these championships and this, that, and the third. So it was interesting to him come back, and then he's trying to change Derek from who he is. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I misinterpreted, maybe you can clarify, but when he was talking about... like, we all know, like, you're hated from in Miami. You're not welcome back because of this, that, and the third, and the partying. And I was like, okay. Now, Derek did tell the truth, right? And the partying was because he broke up with Asha, or he was out there partying, and that caused...
I think it was a combination of both. And obviously, the breakup really, you know, sent him over the edge, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, he's a star athlete in Miami. I mean, we've all been to Miami, or if you haven't been, you need to go. There's a lot of nightlife there. And he got caught up in it. And I think the pairing of German and Derek Roman in this season as coach and player, it's perfect because obviously they had a history with the same woman. So he can right. kind of understand what he's been through because he's been with the same woman. And, right. You know, it's one of those things where he sees him and kind of as two people working together for a common cause. I like the pairing, and I like the whole scene with the fire blazing and, you know, this is your beast mode moment,
yeah.
and this is what I want to see on the court. When I read that originally, even before the table read, I was like, that's what's up. They're going to be boys, and it's so far so good. It seems like they're coming back together, and we'll see what happens. Obviously, there's a long way to go, and there are a lot of roller coasters that we all go on, so I can't give away too many details, but I like that moment where they kind of had that understanding that, you know, we're in this together. We're playing for a championship, and that's what we're going for.
That's funny because I caught that too. They're like, we've been through the same hurricane. I was right. like, damn, they called my girl a hurricane. like we've been through the same thing, right. bro. I'm here right. for you. I was right. like, oh, okay. Y'all right. hated each other. Now they're super bonded. I mean, I'm not mad
remember,
at it though.
We all remember that he got him in. I think it was season two. Just yeah. popped him.
Yeah.
So they've had their fair share of beef, and now it's kind of like, you know what, we got to work together. How are we going to get through this?
Right.
So
now, do you like him as the new head coach replacing Pete right off the bat? Thoughts?
It's weird.
Yeah.
If I look at it in a realistic way,
because
he's so young to be a head coach of like an NBA type of team, but I like it for the storyline. Like, it definitely works. Like, I love me some German. I think he's like one of my favorite characters. He's been there since the beginning. Like, you need those OGs around, and him coming back is like, it's something exciting for the audience. They see German. Who doesn't love German? Who doesn't love a nice guy?
And German's German, but Jonathan is also, Jonathan McDaniel, man. I mean, from day one, when I came to my first table read, brought me in like a brother, member of the family. He's always there, knock on his door, ask any advice. He's always there to kind of give the newbies, I call us newbies, the rookies. all the veterans on the show have been amazing to us. It's like a family, literally from day one, from the pop-off. But Jonathan, just a good dude, real down to earth, always there to talk. He's always entertaining people in the hair and makeup trailer. He's always got a joke or a witty comment or an anecdote. And being around that energy just helps you get in the mood to be on set. And that's so much fun. So I'm happy German's back.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I think that's something we hear a lot, is just the energy you guys have on that show. It's just when you have that kind of energy, you can't help but produce such a good product.
There's no hierarchy. There's no, there's no clicks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you come onto a set as a new actor, coming onto a season four, which is an unestablished show. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what to expect. And I have to say, you know, there's been no hierarchy. Everyone's in it. The crew, the cast, the directors, the writers, you're met by joy and mm-hmm. enthusiasm and support and encouragement every time you go to set. There's never a day where people are like down and dour. Everyone's always happy to be there, mm-hmm. and I think that translates to a really fun show that we do.
Yeah, it's like a dream job.
Yeah, it really is. It's
a dream
really
job. Is. I love all my coworkers.
Who said
Said only this guy.
No,
like,
I posted. I posted on my Instagram. So that, you know, I drive a motorcycle around town, and there's a video on my Instagram where it says, "Best part of my day." And it's me driving up. I had Jeremy, who's our PA. I'm like, yo, I'm going to be coming up on set in 5 minutes. Have your camera ready. I want this video because I want to post it. And so it's me driving up on my motorcycle. And I essentially say, best part of my day. I get off my bike. I go into my trailer. Noah, season 4, hit the floor. And that's what, I mean, literally, you wake up and you know you're going to go to set to shoot to the floor. You're like, this is going to be a great
good day.
Yeah.
It's a good day.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I want to know, what kind of bike?
I have a Triumph Bonneville. It's 2015, and it's a T100 black.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Sorry, I'm from like a bike family. Yeah,
oh,
like
really?
My family like rides.
Do you drive?
Like,
you ride? What are you
like? No, my gosh. I'm like the girls. They're like, no, don't do it. But my dad just got a really nice Harley.
Oh, okay.
2010 is like really sweet. So I'm let me get on that.
Court King, who plays Pax, also is a rider. He has a Harley that he just got. And we actually just watched the East Coast feed of this before we got to watch it. So Court and I rode up together on our bikes as rookies. Rookies arrive on bikes.
Cool. Yes. Nice.
So we didn't get any photos or videos of it, but it was fun. Just kind of riding to the bar where we watched it all as a group. Just a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It's a family.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just one quick thought to wrap up the whole thing about German, and something that crossed my mind is the fact that in season one, German was initially a basketball player. And it was his dream to do what Derek Roman is doing. So even though he's a coach and that's cool, and technically you're pay grade higher, so that's cool.
That works.
But at the end of the day, have you ever had a dream where you just had your heart set on this? And it doesn't matter about the pay. At some point you're like, I really wanted to do this. And now it's like the person who couldn't do, so then they taught, if you will. So I feel like...
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, I feel like if you love basketball, you love being around the sport... I mean, a lot of times you see a lot of these former athletes who then become commentators, and you see the transition is seamless because they feel like they're still in it. There's that energy, there's that passion that they don't forget that they, you know, you might not be running out in front of 28,000 people at an arena, but at the same time, you're still around it. And the fact that he's a coach now, it's easier on his body. He gets to tell the athletes what to do. And he's not running suicides. He's telling them to run the suicides. So he's kind of got, and he's making good money.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he's German's doing all right for himself.
So you don't think that there's still just a little ounce of a leftover? Like, between him and Derek, I'm talking about the fact that you got my girl, you got my career. Well, I guess
he doesn't have any of those things anymore. So it's kind of like now we're on an even playing field. Like, you don't have the girl, you don't have the career. So now we're kind of like equals. And now because your life is ruined too by the same girl, now we can be friends.
And like he said in the episode, you know, I'm playing with house money. If I fail, everyone's going to think it's your fault. If we do well, they're going to call me a genius. So he's in a win-win situation.
Yeah.
So I appreciate where you're coming from with the question, but I honestly think that German's in a good spot right now. He's good. Yeah.
So then why don't we talk about Noah, guys?
Let's go.
Noah. Big mouth with a big following.
Noah's fun, man. He's fun to play. He's unabashed. He's unapologetic. He's unapologetic. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He says what's on his mind. He's aggressive. He's in your face. And, you know, me personally, Christian, that's not how I operate. You know, like, you know, I'm very cognizant of people's feelings and this and that. Whereas Noah's just like, look, I'm going to say it. And if you don't like it, too bad. Like he says, I'm literally a hot mic. So I'm not going to censor myself. I'm totally, you know, I am who I am. And either you like it or you don't. But because he's had such a success with social media, he has a huge YouTube following and Twitter following. That's why he was able to get this job. Lionel Davenport's like, look, we need to bring some enthusiasm and some new energy and moxie into our fan base. Mm-hmm. Noah's the guy that can do it because the previous year the ratings were not great because the team wasn't doing so well. So, I mean, obviously I got the position for the personality that I bring to the table.
Right.
And obviously it comes into conflict with some of the executives and the higher-ups in Devil's Arena and Devil's Nation who are more buttoned up, who are more kind of circumspect and...
Dude.
I don't want to say it, but I mean, you know, and that's where the conflict and drama comes to play. So he's just a lot of fun to play. Every time I get my script, I'm literally like, oh, that's, if this is my script, well, that's going to be fun to say. And that's going to be fun to say. And every time there's a scene with my, you know, my scenes in it, it's just, you know, the writers have given me gold to work with and to play with. And so to the writers, thank you, James, love you. And all the, all woman writing core on Hit the Floor, which is rare on TV. Awesome. They did a tremendous job, a really phenomenal job. Not just with Noah's work, but with everybody across the board. Everyone goes on a really, really interesting character arc throughout the eight episodes.
So I have a question, but you are not allowed to answer because you know the answer.
Okay.
Do you guys think that Noah sincerely, not is attracted to Jude, but actually genuinely has a liking towards him?
Is this a question for me?
No. Okay. Yeah, no. That's why I said you're not allowed to answer that.
Not speaking.
I love Noah. I think Noah thrives in areas where he can make people uncomfortable, and there's something about it that really gets him going, like gets him giggles, not like in a malicious kind of way, but he just likes that Jude is like a prude and he knows that he's not, and he can push that envelope, and he has that kind of like we did it type of thing with him, you know, like he has that playfulness. And I just like Noah because Noah's so, it's like you can't, it's like Noah's, it's weird to talk about someone's character and they're sitting right next to you. By the way, I haven't done that before.
I love this.
It's like Noah will burst without telling the truth, and Jude has so many secrets. And I'm interested. I can't wait to see more how like that develops. But do I think that Noah genuinely likes him? To answer your question, yeah, I think he genuinely has a liking for Jude.
And what about you, Deshaun?
I'm gonna go on the opposite. I'm not going to say he doesn't like him, but I feel like Noah is, he knows his strength and he knows his power and he knows what he can do. And I feel like he might just be using or just taking advantage of the situation with Jude. Not necessarily in a bad way, just like, hey, this is who I am. I got to get to B. Whatever I got to do to get to B, from A to B, I'm going to do it. And he's good at it. Like, look how Jude just melts around him. Like, he can just blink and he's...
I'm gonna, you know, this is the way I am. You either take it or you leave it, but I'm just going to take off my shirt as I'm giving you this proposal.
Right. Look, flesh always works.
Always.
Okay. Apparently.
It helps.
Apparently.
I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Note to self.
No, Felicia, is anybody saying anything in the chat room? Have we got some stuff going on in there?
Nah, they're quiet right now. I don't know what you guys are doing. They're probably watching the episode again because it was so good. And honestly, with this show, something I realized is that if you watch it one time, you don't really get the full picture of everything. Like, I usually go and watch it again after we watch it here. Like, you need more.
There's so many a lot of stuff to digest. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. There are a lot of different characters. I mean, there are 10 series regs, and there are a lot of different storylines, a lot of, you know, intermingling between characters. And so I think that, yeah, I think that second viewing will definitely solidify everything going on because it goes quickly and so it's quick. Fun to watch. And it looks beautiful. Shout out to the DP, Walt, and the camera guys. You did a phenomenal job. And I feel like, yeah, I mean, friends of mine who have watched, they're like, dude, there's so much going on. Like, what's so much? There's a lot. And so I do think that second viewing is helpful.
It's necessary. Yeah. Or maybe I'm just obsessed.
And the recap at the beginning of each episode, it helps a lot as well, too, to kind of make sure you're on the same page with everything else. So, yeah, that helps.
You know, and I'm not going to lie, because we watched this now in trailer together on this little screen or whatever. It was really fun. And I think we're all in the room, and I don't know if you giggled because you've seen it already, so I don't know if it's even funny to you anymore. But so when you're in the house, when Noah's in the house with Jude, right, and they have their moment, and I think they were like, I don't know if they had just kissed or whatever, but when the fire exploded and you guys like flew across the room, I was like, oh, I don't know if that was.
Scene was okay. It was really fun to shoot it, but it actually, I mean, it was like a legit fire. That's not CGI or any kind of, you know, fantasy world. That was like a legit apparatus in the fireplace. Wow. There was warmth coming out of that fireplace. And it was funny because obviously George, our AD, he came in and he gave a good 20-minute talk about all the different logistics behind this. Like, okay, so this is what's going to happen, and if there is a problem and there's an accident, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so you're hearing all this, and you get like, okay, and then, you know, obviously, I see where the marks are, and I see where the cameras are set up, and I see we're about 4 or 5 feet from the flame, and I'm thinking to myself, and obviously in this scene, it's a seduction scene, right? So, you know, acting 101, you don't want to anticipate any moments. You know, you want to work moment to moment, and that's what the believability happens. That's where it comes from. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, so I have to seduce him and be seductive, and I know that fireball is going to be coming this way, like a foot away from my face. So that was all real. That was warm, and I think it looked great, and but they took a lot of time to prepare us and make sure that everything was super safe on set before we shot it. Wow. But yeah, it was. I've never worked with the fire or live fire or explosion or anything of that sort. So that was a first for me, which was it was fun. I liked it.
So how many takes did you do? It one take or
we did that about 4 takes.
Okay.
Yeah. It was. You know what is funny? The exit for some reason was messing us. I think we exited. I guess we had to exit left and we exited right off camera. So long. So we had to do it a couple times. But it was a little tricky. But we got it.
Was it like when you go to like to hit hibachi and the fire comes up and then your face pretty is much. Really warm? Was it like that pretty or much. Was it hotter than
it
that?
It was warm. I mean, we were literally, you know, Brent and I, we were standing back towards the second entrance of that room, and even 20 feet away, we could feel it, and it was definitely warm. It was legit.
I thought it was, you said it was real fire. I thought it was like, no. Oh, that's like CGI or something fancy. They're not going to put
that was
in danger.
Real fire. We had a legit You're 20 a minute
talk. I would have been like, where's my stunt
double? I was like, what's up? It was pretty funny because my stand-in, D, great guy. He just had a baby recently, so congrats, much love. He's great, and so you know he's on the mark, and he's getting set up. They call second team. So when first team gets called in, we come in, and Derek's like, D's just like, you know, you're gonna be on this mark right here, and the fire's coming from there, and then you just exit that way. He's like,
just run for your life.
It was one of those like, good luck, homie.
It looked like it blew you back though. That's like kind of how
it was forceful, and it was just like we just went with the momentum of the moment, and just. You know, exited stage left, we'll call it, right next to the camera.
It was weird to me, though, that the next scene that happened, you guys didn't have any Band-Aids or, like, no bruising. You guys just came out pretty, and that was that.
We weren't officially touched or scathed by it. No burn marks or anything like that. It was a close call.
Threw you across the floor.
Hey. We're tough guys, all right?
Is that what that is?
Jude and I were tough. We rolled the punches and we went with it, so yeah.
I loved your little Band-Aid on your arm, too.
You saw that, right?
Can we get that?
It was a
like a Care Bear.
Hey.
It was like blue. It was really cute.
Bullet Wound Season episode 1, nice cute little Band-Aid episode 2. That's how we roll.
Yeah. You heal fast. You're
very
like,
quickly.
Noah's like part mutant now.
That's it. X-Men, let's go.
So why don't we talk about Yelena a little bit, because she was a bit of a hot topic. You were saying she was your who I love to hate. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about why?
Okay, so she's my who I love to hate because of the moment, like with the little boy. Like, I understand you want to cut off your feelings, and that's how you have compartmentalized like all the messed up stuff that's happened to you. But like to tell a kid that, I was like, but then she went back and I was just like, you can't do that with kids' emotions. Like, if you worked with kids or anything like that, you can't play with their emotions, like, go back and forth like that. And then, like, sorry, she kidnapped him. So that's not a cool thing to do. So that's why she's my love to.
But that's, like, so Yelena, though. That's so textbook 101. That's Yelena.
But it's still wrong. Like,
do you feel like she redeemed herself by actually showing up and taking on the responsibility of going to the airport?
Yes, because she had a bomb red fur. I don't know who has a red fur ready to go and run off to the airport, but she did, which is awesome. And she did, but then she went and kidnapped him, so that was just
You're just going to have to tune in and see what happens.
Where is she going? Like, that's what I want to know. Like,
Nicaragua.
Sold the team, and then I thought she was just going to leave the airport. I'm like, oh, they're going to leave. Wait, they're going to another
different gate.
Like, wait,
different
they're not even leaving the airport.
Here's the thing, though. Okay, we had hardcore Yelena, I Have No Feelings, season 1, 2, and 3, except for the breakup with Terrence. But you have a woman who has everything she's ever wanted. She worked so hard to get that team. It is hers, and she gave it away for a child, which to me shows... Yeah, but it just shows to me that even though she seems hard, like there has been some sort of internal evolution.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not a parent yet. I plan to be eventually one day, but I have heard from several people that are parents that, you know, a child will change you. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, kids are amazing things. They come into your life and they change the game for you. As a lot of my friends have said, it's a game changer having a child. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not her own child biologically, but she feels responsible and she wants to do the right thing. And when a situation is presented like that, you know, sometimes people act differently than you expect them to act. And so clearly she's going through something where she feels responsible as a mother.
Right.
So, yeah.
So Real Talk 1411 just pointed something out I thought was, like, interesting. It's like, why would the social worker leave Miguel with Yelena?
Maybe she just don't know.
She doesn't know her very well.
You're right.
Like, she was like, okay, no problem. Goodbye. Like, do you not know how cutthroat this woman is? Like, she
did you not see that red fur?
Well, the red fur was amazing, right? Like, let's be honest. She probably saw how awesome her red fur was, and she's like, you know what?
I can trust you. I can leave the kid
in your hands.
Right.
She's also the owner of a basketball team, right? Like, she clearly has gotten to a place of success in her life. So the social worker part just thought, you know what? I'm not going to question it. She's gotten to a certain level of success in her life, and I'm sure that she can take care of a little one. So,
or maybe she's like, that bitch is scary.
Or that.
Go ahead.
Or that.
When she saw her shut down with no emotions, that would make me be like, oh, she's void, and I'm just going to go along with what she said.
Right. Also want to make a shout about Yelena. Logan Browning, such a sweetheart. Such a sweetheart. From our first table read, same thing. She came welcomed with a massive hug. Welcome to the show. So excited to have you. You know, a lot of times actors portray certain characters that are, you know, hard and rough, and people don't like them, and then they think that they're like that in real life, and that's just not the case. And, you know, obviously we're acting. We're doing a job. We're not really these people. And just to give Logan a shout, she's been great. She's a total sweetheart, and she's a tremendous actress.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would say the first time I met her, she actually came into AfterBuzz, and I was like, oh my God, like Yelena's coming. And she came in, hi! Oh my God, I saw you. This is so weird. I saw you online. And I'm like, girl, I watch you on TV. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But anyway, no, super, super cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to stay back on topic, though, as far as with the show. How many of you guys thought, because you have Eve weaving in between every single one of these characters, and one of the things that she said when she walked up to Lionel as she's making her introduction is, you know, she starts talking her own smack about Yelena, and she's like, well, you know, someone had to tell the social worker, blah, blah, someone had to know. Well, bitch, you do your research, so to me, I'm like, you must have been the one that called the social worker, right? I don't know. Anybody else?
So somebody's in the comments with that. They think that Eve is the one who called Jesse about the whole situation. Like, this was all Eve's doing because she wanted Yelena out of the way.
Right.
And, of course.
And she knew her weak spot. Like, her only weak spot ever, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even Terrence never had her, like, this bad.
Mm-hmm. No.
Not to give up everything she's worked so hard for. That's her narrative. I've worked hard for this. This is mine. I control this. Mm-hmm. I run this. Like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, that's her. No one ever. She never wanted to give that for anybody. But Lil Miguel, he's so cute.
Mm-hmm. Isn't he?
I don't know if I would give it up for Lil Miguel, but not my career. Sorry, Lil Miguel.
Hold, please. That actually just reminded me. When Eve started talking to Lionel about this, and she's like, you know, that Raquel, did you know what she did? And da-da-da. And I was like, I will cut you. She didn't even do it. I was so mad at her. I mean, obviously, that's what the news told everybody. But in my mind, I was just like, oh.
Yeah. We've all seen the ending scene of episode one where she's at the gravesite and she essentially says, like, I'm going to take everyone down. And obviously she has a vendetta, personal vendetta against the entire organization about, you know, everyone who's involved in it. And it's going to be interesting to see it play out. Obviously can't tell you too much more about that, but it's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And again, Tiffany's doing a great job. She does so much with just a simple expression of
her eyes.
It's another thing, you know, acting 101, like you don't have to say a lot to be able to portray a lot, and she does so much with just a simple little look or a little coy smile, and you know she's up to no good. Mm-hmm. Right, doesn't it? It's all nonverbal communication, and she's great at it.
She's very good, and I think that's why we hate her so much.
Yeah, like, the little things. It's the little things that go a long way.
So what, as far as, okay, so we have Eve, who's now worked her way into bed with Lionel. First of all.
Wow.
Did you guys see that coming at all?
Not even a little bit, because, okay, I'm like, when did Lionel become bi? Because last I heard, she was in love with Coach Pete, and I don't know if it's like one of those treacherous things that it was so bad that I'm just going to go the other direction because you broke my heart, or this is something that's been living inside me and you just caught me on the right day.
But my thing was, like, I was giving props to Lana. I was like, yeah, she can see right through Eve. I'm like, she's not going to fall for this. And then the next thing, you know,
right in the bed.
I'm like, no, Lionel, you were doing so good. You were the one who was not going to give in to her. I was like, she's smart. She's not going to fall for that. And then,
what's the chat saying?
How much power does Eve have with the commissioner? Like, that's a great point. That now has my wheels turning. Like, is there something going on with him as to why, you know, she's very intrusive is what I will say that her character is. And she, like, kind of steps into arenas, is like, you're going to hand me this and give me this. And that's how she was with him. But she has so much reign as his liaison. I get it, but damn, I agree with that.
She got dirt on him. That's what
Samantha.
It is.
Thank you, Samantha. That was a great comment. Yes.
I think she got dirt on him.
She's very intelligent. She is a smooth operator. And
he knows something, you guys.
She knows what she wants. And she's, keep in mind, too, like, her family's going through a lot in Devil's Arena, right? I mean, there's just a legacy there. And when you grow up with that legacy and you grow up with all of the trauma that they've gone through, it's not something you forget very easily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's grown up with that. And so, and she's highly educated, and she's got this position where she has an opportunity to seek some vengeance, let's call it. And, and again, it's a testament to the great writing on the show, to the writers. Like, they put her in this place, and like you guys have said, like, she seems to have, you know, her hands in all these different jars, and she's doing all these things, and it's tricky to weave and you know, get her involved in all these different characters, storylines, and arcs. And I think the writers have done a great job. Every time I would get a new script, I'm like, oh my god, what's going to happen next? What's she going to do next? And at the end of a table read, we would all get together as actors, like, so what's going to happen next? You know what I mean? It's like exciting for us. Mm-hmm. So we can't wait for the fans to see how it plays out. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's literally a roller coaster. It's a short season, but they packed in a massive amount of information and drama and intrigue into these 8 episodes. And
I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see to see what people think about it. Yeah,
honestly, I'm just curious about. She obviously has her thing for all these people that were involved in her parents' life, but at the same time, there are so many new different characters that in any way is someone gonna cross her path, or she's like, I'm out for you too, or, you know what, Noah, I don't really know you, I don't care about you, you have nothing to do with me, get out of my way.
Right.
I mean, I guess you can't really...
Noah's, okay, so Noah's like press, and everyone knows like media is like power, like that's how the world basically runs,
yeah,
so
makes sense.
I can definitely, well, I'll probably say that for predictions, but I could definitely see their characters crossing paths, and I don't think that she's going to ignore that, especially with him being, you know, Lionel's golden boy on the mic, you know, media can be messy, and I think that Noah's going to get really dirty this season. Cannot wait.
I like the predictions a lot. That makes me excited. Thank you.
I'm not a writer on the show, but that's what I think.
Hey, the fact that you're that interested and concerned about it, it makes me happy, because it's obviously, you know, we put together, we created something that I think, you know, people are going to be talking about for a while. And to see your enthusiasm about it and yours and, you know, the fact that we're here talking about it like this is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to a portion of the show that I like to call...
Oh, she's breaking up that British accent. Hold up.
Hashtag.
Where are we going?
Dance off, pants off.
Dance off, pants
so,
off.
So, actually, because the dance was so good, I asked the host. I was like, you know what, you guys, if you can think of a move, like, as you're watching it, take it in and figure out what is your favorite move. And we're going to show people what that move is from our chairs. We're going to do dance interpretation.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw my engineer off a little bit. But if you still have that song that is the opening song for this show.
Let's hear that.
We can play it. And we'll take our turns.
Are we going turn? Okay.
This is scary. Like, the Soul Train line is too much pressure. So we're going like this?
Yeah. We'll start with me first. Okay. I got like 2 moves.
That's not fair. They're dancers, by the
Hold
way.
Hold on. Yeah, but I'm at a table. We got the challenge is you got to keep your butt glued to the chair,
move
right?
The butt. Okay.
So I'm like, you guys watching the podcast, can you narrate?
I'm going to narrate.
I'm narrating.
Okay, got that.
All right. She just put her, she's trying to do a split, but the headphones are in the way.
So I'm just going to back my booty up like this.
There you go. I'm not ready.
Oh, she's just moving the chair.
Okay, so that was my favorite move. Deshaun, what's your favorite move?
My favorite was when Teyana London came in and the opening of that dance and she hit the floor.
Get it.
That was dope.
That was my favorite part. That was my favorite part.
Christian, this is your camera right there. So you look into the eyes of your fans and show them your favorite dance move.
I mean, every move that they do out there is my favorite move. They're incredible. I'll just start moving around like this.
Hey.
I got nothing, okay? I want to come back to this after, but you're up.
I feel like every time I watch a show, they go...
Yeah.
Yes.
Like
that's
the hair flip.
And then they hit
the hair flip.
Pose, yep. LA or something like that. That's all. I got a hair flip. That's it.
Nice.
I'm going to go to dance class with y'all next time, though, so I have more moves.
Let's go.
Let me talk about the dancers real quick, though.
Please.
Okay. I was going to ask you that, too.
Okay. First of all, they're the nicest ladies you could meet. They're like all best friends on their Instagram. They're all supportive and encouraging of each other. Like, they're a tight, tight group. When you get 13 ladies in the same project, usually it doesn't work out, right? Okay? There's egos, there's this or that. These ladies are like best friends. They hang out outside of work. They're like always on each other. They're birthday parties, et cetera, et cetera. So there's that. I learned this recently. So as an actor, you know, you go into an audition, you have the sides, you have your, you know, you get the script the night before, you prepare, you make your choices, you work out, you know, you hang out with a friend, you read it, you go into the room prepared. When you do a dance audition, you literally go into a room
They know this life.
The choreographer. I didn't know this. Okay.
You go into a room.
The choreographer is there. The director is there. They essentially do like, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds of a dance. And they expect you to see it once, know the steps, and then replicate it like that. It's insane. And when I learned that, I was just like, wow, they can do that quickly. It's incredible. And from I only had the pleasure of seeing one dance live taped because most of the scenes that where they shot the dances, I wasn't on set that day. But like, when you see what goes into these steps and how good they are and how amazing they are, and I talked to Kendall a lot about this because, you know, she's obviously new to the show, and I was like, so what's up with the dancing scene? She's like, Christian, you don't even get it. These girls are so fucking good. It's incredible. And they're literally like the best dancers in Los Angeles. And if you're in Los Angeles dancing, you're in the city that does it, like, in the world, I'm going to say. And they're all so down to earth, super chill, super cool. We just hung out with a bunch of them to watch the show tonight. And they're all, it's fun to be a part of that. It's a very rare thing to be on a show where you have that kind of talent with dancers and this and that. And it's just, it's fun to watch and it's fun to be a part of. Yeah. They're really incredible.
That's nice. From
all of them, from the OGs who have been there from season one to the new ladies that they brought on this season. Everybody, the level of experience and the level of talent is just sensational.
So, all talent, no attitude.
For real. And they're super nice. They're so friendly. They're the nicest, most welcoming people. So shout out to the LA Devil Girls. You guys rock. Our show is not the same without you. Much love.
And our moves are nothing like yours. So I'm sorry if I offended you.
Yeah, you asked me before, like, so what's your favorite move? I'm like, these are the best dances in Los Angeles. You expect me to do, like, no, not in chat.
Really quick, and we'll get back to the actual dance scene, but I got to, because you said that, and Deshaun and I were, like, giggling like little girls over here, because I think people don't realize when you go into even just, like, a dance audition, they will throw, like, 12, 13, 8 counts at you. You have maybe 45 minutes, if you're lucky, to learn it, and there's 100 people in this room like this, and you're trying to see the choreographer, and you have to be able to pick it up so quickly, and you don't realize as an actor, because we also have migrated into the world of acting, you do get your sides the night before, if you're lucky, two nights before, but you can take the time to really research. When you're at a dance audition, it's just like this in your brain, like,
just
and
jazz
then,
hands, let's then go.
Then you,
and then you get cut on spot. You don't go home and wait for a phone call. You're then, like, you know, thank you for coming.
I'll see Catherine Bayless and I'll see Kendall and Tiana in the makeup chair, you know, about ready to do their scenes. And they look exhausted. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, how's your day going? They're like, man, we've been dancing for 8 hours. And I'm just getting to sit like, oh, I'm just ready to do my scene.
Right.
They've been working since like 6 a.m. on dance moves, and they're perfecting it. And then they're going to go and do scenes on top of that. So my hat comes off to these ladies. I mean, it's really remarkable work that they're putting out right now, for real.
Well, and that too, I want to talk about the dance a little bit, because last episode we were dissecting the first dance. I know you weren't on the table. It was actually Ashley. But the three of us were talking about the fact that for us, that first dance, we were like, okay. But then we also came to the conclusion that we were like, you know what, that is their first dance as a team. That is their first blah, blah, blah. So we were going into this second episode being like, please let it be something a little bit more like oomph and wow. But I feel like they did do that this time around. We did see a lot more action, a little bit more grittiness, which is what Deshaun, you and I were talking about hoping to see. So I feel like they really brought it to the table.
Yeah, I loved it. Like I said, again, loved the opening when London came in and just, I was like, hey, there it is. That's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. But again, that energy that the dancers bring, I think for me is the best part that I wait for. The show is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the end, it's just like the cherry on top. Like, we're just going to leave this right here for you guys. See you next
week. And what's up with the Harleys, driving in on the Harleys?
That was dope, too. That was really dope.
I loved it.
That was really dope. So let's get into guest interview, but I want to start with the hashtag BTS, which is behind the scenes.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, did I hashtag that right? BTS, behind the scenes. So give me one behind the scenes moment that's actually a laughable moment that you shared. Like, it just didn't go. It didn't work.
Let's see. Behind the scenes moments. Let's think about this for a second here. So you're saying a scene that didn't go as planned?
Yeah, like you fell on your butt or you knocked, you know, foreheads when you were trying to, like, be sexy.
Well, I will say after the scene that we saw tonight, which actually the scene where I say, oh, so I heard you tried to get me fired, and I slap him on the ass as we walk off. We shot that scene about 5 times. And that scene has a special place in my heart because that was actually the first scene that I shot as a member of Hit the Floor.
Oh, wow.
First day on set. And so we did it about 5 times. And I told James, I'm like, James, can I, like, every time we do the take, I'm just going to slap his ass harder and harder and harder. He's like, dude, do your thing, because I want to get a reaction from him. And, like, I want him to have that oh shit moment, but then also, like, that I kind of liked it moment. And so yeah, I guess it's not really kind of, you know, provocative. I guess it's a little provocative, but yeah, it's not really a crazy moment, but I guess that's a story I can kind of share with you guys. You know, and you just, you know, you find fun things to do on set every time, and each take is different. And props to James and all the directors who would literally give us great notes each take. They want, and you know, sometimes we would have it in the can by like the third or fourth take, but then he's just like, you know, let's just try it again and just have fun with it. So working in that environment with actors or with directors who let you do your thing as an actor and kind of, you know, get creative after they've got it in the can is just fun. It's fun to be part of, you know. So that's my, what is it, hashtag BTS, behind the scenes.
So we're pretty soon going to have to go into news and gossip. I don't know if you got, either of you have like a quick question you want to ask.
So I just wanted to ask again more about playing the role of Noah. You stated that it's kind of different from who you are. Of course, Noah's cutthroat, in your face.
Right.
For me, I always love watching actors take on a role that's a little different from who they actually are.
Right.
Me, myself, I'm a nice guy. I would love to play, like, an evil just villain. So right. What is it's it like? Fun. Yeah. What's it like playing, like, a Noah that's just, like, in your face?
So, yeah, the beauty of acting is you get to do things and say things that you personally wouldn't normally say or do. Mm-hmm. And that's just fun. And so when I got Noah, you know, I read that first script and I saw, wow, he's very aggressive. Even from the audition scenes, like, I could just tell. He's a very in-your-face, unapologetic guy. He knows what he wants. He's going to get it. And he'll do it any means necessary. And so every time I would see a line in the script that Noah says that Christian would not ever say, it just brought a smile to my face. I'm like, oh, I get to say that and like say it with honesty and authenticity in this role. And anytime you take on, I mean, obviously as an actor, for me personally, I like to challenge myself and play people who aren't like me. Cause I think if you play yourself, it's, you know, it's, I mean, yeah, it's acting, you can do a role, but like, it's not as fun. I'd like, you know, to push boundaries for yourself is really a challenge for all artists. I don't even think it's just an actor. And so, yeah, taking on this role has been a lot of fun. You know, even his lifestyle, you know, him being a gay man, I'm not gay. Like that in itself is a challenge as far as doing honor to those moments, those intimate moments,
making them genuine for people, because this is someone's genuine experience.
And from day one, Brent and I, we made a pact. We're like, look, we have a fan base that we want to honor. We want to honor the LGBTQ community, and we're doing everything in our power and everything in our ability to choreograph everything and make sure everything looks legit and real and authentic. And I would be very curious after one of our scenes, I would ask people on set, like, is this vibing? Like, is this working? And everyone's like, yes, it definitely is working. So we put a lot of energy into it. So,
The live chat's like going kind of like cam, because I was like, ask another question. So Samantha wants to know, how will Noah's character change with Jude's rise to owner? Will we see a change? Well, maybe you can't tell us exactly.
Obviously,
could expect a change.
Yeah.
There's a power dynamic shift.
100%. I mean, obviously, anytime someone goes from executive to the head man in charge, it changes the dynamic of your relationship. And so going forward, yeah, that's something that we take into consideration. That's something that Noah's going to have to work with and work off of. But I can't give you too many details other than that, or else James will cut Noah's my arm off.
I feel like Noah's going to be like, oh, now he's owns the team. Now what can I get out of him?
Right. can't say much more than that.
Your character's like 85% sarcasm, and I love him 100%.
And that's the thing. You know, he's just fun. He's unapologetic. He's not bashful. He's a walking ego. He's just like, this is who I am, and take it or leave it. And it's so fun to play that, because, you know, that's not how I operate, you know. So yeah, and that's the joy of acting. He's going in there and taking on a role that's very much not like you, and having fun with it and doing honor to it, and really at the end of the day honoring the story and what the writers have put together, because they put together a great season. And you, as an actor on the show, I'm a part of the puzzle that they need, as far as, you know, Jude's new relationship, as far as where my storyline kind of intersects the rest of the arc of the whole season. You know, you do it with as much authenticity as you can, and then you see it play out.
Well, I think everybody is enjoying it so far. It's pretty safe
Hopefully, good. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, thank for you. Sure.
I'm thank here you. For it.
Now, before we go news and gossip, did you have one last question? Or
no, mine's okay. More, I wrote a question. Like, where do you find the sarcasm? Because your character is like 85% sarcasm. But you've answered that. Like, that you get to pull from that part. Because I was low-key a little, like, nervous when you came in. I was like, oh, I don't know. I've never had a guest in here before with me. Okay. And I was like, well, his character is so, like, in your face. And then you were like, oh, yeah, I really like, you're like fashion, like talking, okay. I'm like, he's really, really nice. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I would say most of the people who I've come across, either as a fan or as a coworker of a character who has a certain personality on camera, that it's usually not that person when you meet them in real life. You know what I mean? And Noah's one of these guys where, he has a lot to say and he doesn't apologize for what he says.
It's got to be fun to play him.
Big mouth.
It's
got to
be fun.
Yeah, he's got a big mouth and big ideas and that, you know, he's a sideline reporter and he's a little bit of a clown and that's why people like him. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, audience members will kind of gravitate to him and this and that. Because one of my jobs as playing Noah is, you know, from the whole Jude standpoint, is to kind of throw a different energy and a different kind of swagger into the mix as far as his relationship. Like, mm-hmm. his previous relationship was more structured. It was kind of heavy and it was very calculated. And I feel like now Noah helps to loosen him up a little bit, mm-hmm. and you know, unbutton the top button. You know what I mean? So
that's not the only thing he unbuttoned.
Say it again.
Ooh. I said that's not the only thing he unbuttoned.
Those you got so that steamy. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
And it gets steamy. And the whole, I mean, obviously, hit the floor in previous seasons. There's a lot of sex. There's a lot of flesh. There's a lot of heat. There's a lot of
that's the essence of hit the floor. Right. Like, you know, that is exactly. Not the same show.
And when I first watched the first three seasons, I thought, okay, you know what? This is it. This is what the fans love. This is what we've come to be. And you know, Brent and I, we just kind of jumped in and said, we gotta deliver. And not just us, but all the other actors. I mean, you know, you'll see as it goes, as it continues in episode after episode, it gets hot and steamy in many places, at many times with many characters. And, you know, as a member of a cast who is so ready to just dive in. And I mean, for instance, day one. Okay, my first day was that scene where I slapped him on the ass and I kept going, right? I'm clothed, it's chill, right? Easy entry to hit the floor. Pax. Okay, his first scene, literally Court's first scene on the entire show, in the entire season, is him jumping into bed with one of his ladies that he met at the bar. Like, first day, call sheet, first scene, naked.
Welcome to work.
Exactly. And I was like, Court, how was your day today, man? He's like, oh, well, I did that scene. I'm like, whoa, that was today. He's like, yeah, that was my first scene. Like, welcome to hit the floor.
Yeah.
So you know, we knew what we were getting into, and, you know, you just have to be bold. You have to make choices and be courageous as an actor and jump into the situation and honor the writing. That's what it's all about.
Love it.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's get into our news and gossip. We have fun music. Yeah. And then, of course, we have fun pictures. So we're going to get those loaded up pretty soon. And, you know, honestly, they're just random pictures that I found of you that I was like, that's funny. Let's TBT it on a Tuesday.
Old school.
So for those of you on iTunes, really quick, we got some old modeling pictures here. I was doing some snooping on Wilhelmina. And obviously, you did some modeling. So
I did. Nautica. So I shot this Nautica Jeans campaign. This is probably about 12, 13 years ago now. And it was in San Diego, actually. We shot it at La Jolla Beach. Two-day shoot. And phenomenal day. There were literally dolphins in the water. Aww. It was amazing. That was a while ago. But yeah, the pictures hold up. Nautica Jeans.
They are. They're all right. Let's go to our next picture. And it's you with Raven Simone.
Yeah.
So cute.
Raven's awesome. We did a college road trip long time ago too. And I played, in that movie, she essentially is going on a tour of different universities and her father wants her to come, you know, stay close to home. So he wants her to go to Northwestern because they're from Chicago. So I play an undercover cop who's posing as a tour guide at Northwestern, and she gets all, you know, googly-eyed, you know, when we meet, this, that, and the other. And then she realizes very quickly that, you know, I'm a plant. But yeah, Raven was amazing. She's awesome. Great energy.
Do I have any more pictures? I swear. Oh, so did you know
that
fans make fun fan t-shirts? And there's a picture of a coffee cup, and it says, it's so far away, I can't read it.
I said, hot at the bottom, Christian Cordelia. What does it say above it?
It's something about coffee, something. I like my coffee hot, like Christian Cordelia. Or Cordelia, excuse me.
Yo, so, these fans are awesome. I have to say, they're great. That's hilarious, first of all.
You should give that to your wife, like, as a random
gift. I kind of want to immediately. I want to take that home tonight.
There's one more.
Oh, there's another one?
There's one more.
Christian Kriller for president.
Yes.
I will take that honor. I will definitely take it. I appreciate that. The fans are awesome. Like, before I even... Before the first episode aired, and I guess the promos that came out before the season started airing, I mean, fans would just be like, hey, welcome to our show. And it wasn't like, you know, we this and that. I mean, it was like from day one, they're like, we can't wait to see what you bring to the show. We're so excited. And to all the fans out there and the followers of our show, you guys rock. Keep it up. Keep watching. We won't let you down. But yeah, all of your words and support and encouragement mean the world to us. And, you know, the job of an actor, there are a lot of ups and downs, peaks and valleys. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's rough. And those comments that you send, believe it or not, can perk us up when things are kind of on the slow side. So keep it up. You guys are awesome. And much love.
Cool.
That's hilarious. I love that. Yeah, president. That's really good.
So that's all for pictures. We will get into predictions, which you are not allowed to partake in because you know this is going to be us. But last piece of gossip, and just because we talked about it in studio, but I was that blonde girl that was at the beginning of this show.
Did you all notice?
We ran it back. We were like, no, that's not our girl. Yeah. That's our girl.
She was the amazing blonde with the mic interviewing London, and she came up the steps of Devil's Arena. Play it back if you haven't seen it. If you didn't pick up on it, she's
it again.
Blonde. Same length
a
hair.
A little bit shorter.
Blonde
a little bit shorter.
And intrusive. That's her character.
Blonde and intrusive, exactly. So check it back out. Do a little replay because she killed it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into predictions, guys. Fun music.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I like that Deshaun's giving me, like, Mariah right now. With his fingers on his ears, like he's about to hit a high note.
Did you hear it?
That was Deshaun, guys. For those of you on iTunes, that was Deshaun. Okay, so let's get into predictions. Anybody have anything on the table they want to throw out real quick?
Oh, well, Derek's a salty biscuit because now now Jude's in charge, and he came back popping all that stuff, and now Jude's in charge, and now he's going to have to deal with that power dynamic. We saw a little bit of that in the preview for next week, though, but I'm more interested to see that. Like, I wonder if it's going to be like fisticuff, because Derek used to be kind of like more like volatile, but he's gone through some things where I think like his house burning down was more therapeutic for him, so maybe he'll get to a space where he's like more in line with himself and not beef, but he's hella salty about it. Like, he's Lowry salty. Like, he's super salty about Jude being the only one to be so salty. I can't wait to see his reaction.
And real quick, I was backstage. I saw the reactions, all three of these, when Brent came in and he said, or when Jude came in and said, I'm the new owner of the Devils. All three, jaw to the floor. Writers, well done.
Well done.
Yes.
Got me.
No. What about you, Deshaun?
I think that Eve and Noah are going to get in cahoots. Something's going to happen, or Eva's going to find a way to get something from Noah. Like, they're two power people using what they got to just make something. So I feel like, I don't know, something's going to happen in that. I don't know. Okay. I feel it.
I have like two predictions. One being, okay, so we saw Derek interact at one point with Jamie.
Okay.
Jamie. And I mean, we know Jamie's like out to just get ahead in the game. She really doesn't care. So at first I was like, are they going to have them romantically get involved? Because I feel like there's curiosity, but I don't feel like there's chemistry. Mm. But then we see him with London and they're bonding over their tumultuous past and this and that. And I was like,
how life is so hard for them.
I think life is, yeah, well, I think they're going in that direction and that's okay. Like, I'm okay with dropping little hints. And that's my one prediction. My last one I'll leave you guys with is with you. And this is probably me just like throwing random stuff out there to be fun in this particular section of the show. But there was a moment you shared, and I think it was with Jamie. Did Noah and Jamie meet this episode? It was a female.
Yeah, at the pool party.
Okay. At that moment, I was like, I get that Noah's like out for the scoop no matter what, but he's throwing on the charm a little bit too much. And he's a little bit too good with the ladies. I'm like, is he bi?
Interesting.
Ah. That's my prediction. Like, okay. I think he's just wherever the news goes, he goes.
Okay.
So that's
you're just gonna have to tune in and see what happens.
What?
That's my go-to answer.
Someone in the lodge is that Jamie needs an apartment.
You guys are ruthless. Wow. She's going through. She's just going through some hard times.
I'm sorry, that's so awesome. Funny.
Look, Jamie's a hustler. She came from Chicago to LA to make it in the big city on the best dance team on the planet. And she's doing her thing so far, right? I mean, so far, so good. She stole the dance and she killed it. People seem to love it. So.
Our prediction from last week that Jamie was going to cause trouble. Did she not cause trouble?
She did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, we had a great time with you, Christian. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you all for having me. This was a lot of fun. Much love. Much love.
Yes. Awesome. And thank you to you guys. I'm going to turn to the front. Thank you to all of you guys in the chat. I know we didn't get a chance to talk to every one of you, but always we appreciate your participation. So thank you so much. And if you do get a chance, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, not only on YouTube, but on iTunes. We love that as well. So again, thank you guys so, so much. We will see you again next week. I am your host, Ali Kona Bradford. You can follow me at yours truly, Ali Kona. And of course, these wonderful people as well.
How's it going? Again, my name's Deshad. You can follow me at Deshad on all social media platforms.
What's going on? It's Christian Cordula. My Instagram is at Christian Cordula. It's both a K for Christian and Cordula. And then my Twitter is at KCordula1. Keep watching. Hit the floor. It gets amazing.
Yes. And it's your girl. It's Felicia Michelle. You find me on Instagram. And I'm on a whole bunch of other shows here on any given day.
I just, real quick, though, I love the way that both of you guys said your things like you're saying hello. Hi, what's up? My name is Christian. I'm like, we're ending the show. We're ending the show. What's going on here?
I'm just saying hi again.
We're so happy to be here.
Anyway, so thanks again. We'll see you guys next week. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.